Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, no wonder she was offered double the going rate to babysit. Their house was very haunted.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You can call it in 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want an ad-free version of the show, you will also get advanced episodes and access to the archive. All you need to do is become a premium subscriber. You can do it through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Harper's with me today, my sweet friend.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's everything going in Arkansas today?
Going very good.
Now, is babysitting anything you would consider in a couple years to make some extra money?
Honestly, no.
You don't seem like the babysitting type.
I'm good with podcasting. The most I would do is probably teach that kid swear words.
Oh, you just don't seem like the babysitting type of kid. And I started babysitting when I was 12, which is so bizarre to me. Why would you put me as a 12-year-old in charge of your child?
Exactly.
It just seemed like a bad idea looking back, but I did. I did a lot of it. And I remember, too, babysitting, and they would go out, and it'd be like 2 or 3 in the morning, and they're getting home, and then they got to drive me all the way home. They were probably drunk. I mean, it's just the whole thing's bad. Just, it's so strange. But I was thinking of that when I read that headline. I was like, you just don't seem like the kind of kid who would be like, hey, I'll babysit.
Because I won't.
No. And why?
I'll pet sit.
Oh, that's a good idea. Children are difficult.
Yes, they suck.
They don't all. I love so many children. You're 11. I love you. I would babysit for you.
Well, other children kind of suck.
But I love you. So I think this is interesting. So it kind of does make you think, if they're offering her really, really good money to babysit, like if everybody's paying, I don't even know what the going rate is now. Say it's $10 an hour. I have no idea.
Ooh, I'd do that.
Say they're going to pay you $10 an hour to babysit. Would you babysit then?
Yeah, probably. For $10 an hour, that's pretty good.
Some good money? So say at this time the going rate for babysitting was $5 an hour, and they offer her 10. And I'd be like, what? This is a lot of money.
As an adult,
I would say there must be a catch. But I think when you're younger, it's just like, oh my God, that's really great money. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a catch.
Well, let's find out the catch.
So it says, I grew up in a home. Let me make sure I just got to the... Okay, I was at the top. I grew up in a home I like to call, in quotes, occupied by the elderly couple who my parents bought the home from. I like that it's occupied. Being exposed to strange occurrences, I believe it made me attuned to other strange things I would see and experience in other homes. Growing up on Long Island, New York, it is hard to find a house that isn't occupied in one way or another, having so much history there over the centuries. Out of all my run-ins, this one experience literally scared the daylights out of me, and I will never be the same because of it. Wow.
Oh gosh.
That's a strong statement.
Yeah.
When I was 16, I babysat a lot to make extra money. A girlfriend of mine approached me one day at school and asked if I was interested in a babysitting job that she couldn't keep anymore because she found another job. The money was good, especially considering it was just 1 2-year-old, but the hours were sometimes late as the mother was a nurse and dad did not get home until 11 on some nights. One day a week, it was Saturday morning until 5. Golly. I should have double thought their generosity, assuming they wanted their child cared for properly. My first night on the job, Mom and I got to know each other, and I met my new ward. Upon entering the house, I immediately felt a heavy presence, but chalked it up to a cluttered house. Mom left, and it was just the little boy and me. I immediately turned the TV on and sat down for the evening, as he was now asleep. My first creepy sign was that the cable had a tendency to go off straight to static and white noise, although it only seemed to happen while I was out of the room to use the bathroom. I dismissed it to the old cables maybe or an older house, but it continued every night I came, along with the noises upstairs. I told the parents about it, but they did not seem to be bothered, so I put up with it. After a couple of weeks, I gave up trying to watch at all. Which really, when you're babysitting, you kind of want to be able to watch TV. My first Saturday was even creepier. I was responsible for feeding the little boy breakfast and lunch. His high chair sat on the edge of the kitchen with the mudroom just a few feet behind him. As I was feeding him breakfast, he would lean back in his chair and look to the left at something as if seeing or listening to something I could not. I would get up and look in the room. It was now used as a pantry, but never saw anything. This continued every time he ate. One day, I asked him what he was looking at, not expecting much of an answer from a two-year-old, but he looked at me and pointed to the mudroom. He then giggled, and I was pretty much at my end. One day, while putting the baby in for his nap, I noticed one room out of the three was always closed. I quickly opened it, and it was filled with boxes and furniture. It was very cold, and I closed it, decided I would not go back in. Having chickened out of quitting that night because I felt so bad leaving the couple with no cover, I braved my last Saturday afternoon. The day went on as usual, creepy noises, creepy kid eating, and looking at no one in the mudroom. I was getting ready to take the baby for a walk, being that I did not want to be in the house any longer than necessary, when the phone rang. The family had a cordless phone, which was in the 80s, gigantic. They were really big back then. That's kind of funny, I forgot. And not the best connection sometimes. So when I answered it and there was no one there and no dial tone, I was not that surprised. What came next surprised me, though. As I hung up the phone, it rang again. Except it was not the cordless ringing. It was coming from somewhere else in the house. Assumed they had a phone upstairs, I went into the master bedroom only to find no phone. It was still ringing, a strange echoing kind of ring, so I went into the hallway and I heard the ringing coming from the very room I did not want to go into. Having seen every horror film in the 80s, I knew nothing good would come of this, but being the idiot I was, I went in. It was very cold, as it was the last time, and I started pushing boxes around, all the while the ringing continued. I finally got to the wall, found the phone, the old banana-shaped ones that were big then. They had so many different types of phones back then, Harper. I think it would make you laugh.
Yeah.
Because there was all kinds of them. There was a Cinderella phone. There was all kinds of different phones.
Oh, goodness. Was there ever a Powerpuff Girls phone?
Not that I ever saw.
Dang.
I picked it up and said hello, only to hear nothing. Nothing. No dial tone. I hung it up and went to leave. The ringing started up again. I picked it up, grabbed the cord, trying to see why it was not working. As I followed the cord, my heart was jumping out of my chest, but then it got to my throat as I found the end, and it was not plugged in. And back then, your phone had to be plugged in.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, so it wasn't like now where you just plug it in to charge it. Like, it was always plugged in. So if you plugged it, if you took the plug out of the wall, your phone did not work.
Yeah.
Okay. To say I almost died of terror was an understatement. I flew down the stairs all the while yelling, "I got the point. I'm out of here." I got to the door and realized I forgot the baby. Even though he too was a bit creepy, I did not want jail time for child abandonment. I threw on his coat and boots as it was cold out and made for the outside, now realizing I had another problem. No money, no phone numbers to reach the parents. Thank God our church was on the corner. In a stroller, that baby kept looking at the house as we made our way to help. I banged on the rectory door for a while, but of course no one answered. I sat there for hours until I saw the dad pull down the road. Half frozen, I told him I could not babysit for them ever again. I told him what happened, and he was not surprised at all, but did not say anything more than okay, which made me want to punch him in the face. I then understood why they were paying double the going rate. A week after, my girlfriend asked if I was still babysitting. I said no, too embarrassed to explain. She asked for their number, so I gave it to her. I was curious if she would have the same issues. Maybe she wouldn't. 2 days later, my friend called me seriously pissed off. She started with, and this is all in caps, "How the hell could you let me babysit in a haunted house? What the hell is wrong with you?" And all caps. Over the years, I often wonder what became of that family, and especially the little boy. He clearly knew and saw firsthand things we could not. I know I'm not the only one to have this happen, but it is something that stays forever. As I said in the beginning, I have had firsthand experience with paranormal situations, but the ringing phone has yet to be topped. Maureen. I'm with her on that. Like, that would creep me out. Because you're already getting such bad vibes in the house anyway.
Yeah, and the phone's unplugged, so how could it be ringing?
It could, yeah, it could not be ringing.
Isn't it like a scene? That sounds like a scene from a horror movie I've watched not too long ago.
That's what she said too. It's like the horror movie's like, "Get out!"
Yeah.
Like, I'd be terrified. It's like,
I'd probably be walking in that room just to get you to open the phone.
Ugh. I don't like it. I think it's super, super creepy. Hopefully they paid her up.
I would hope.
Because she earned that money.
Ooh, maybe the reason why they got such long working jobs is because they knew about the whole thing.
Yeah, and they didn't like to be there either. So they're like, let's just work long hours. We'll get somebody to take care of our kid.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had to have known it. And they were having a hard time finding a babysitter. But it's interesting, you know, like, it would be nice to get some acknowledgement from the parents. Like, oh, I'm really sorry that happened to you. We're having problems ourselves. Then you wouldn't feel so crazy and question your experience. Oh, super creepy. Okay, we've got another one. Let me get it ready here.
Hi. My story's, you know, related to my childhood, as many are. I grew up in a colonial type home, close to the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. And I know this from the history. It's an old town. It's located by water. It's got a rich history, as much as the East Coast does with colonials. So the house, it was situated. It was like a Cape Cod type home. It had two bedrooms upstairs, and it was separated by a hallway and a bathroom. And my brother and I were actually the ones that lived upstairs. And just thinking about it kind of makes me a little, my brother and I experienced. We seldom slept in our rooms alone. We typically slept in each other's rooms. He would typically end up on my floor or even sometimes in the bed because we were just too scared to really have a good night's sleep. Some of my young memories that I can recall is feeling somebody like touch my hand or my foot and pull it, and that's all it was. But you would look and there would be nobody there. You know, down the road after talking with my mom, after we had even moved out of the house, we realized that, you know, we all kind of experienced that same thing. She said it, she seemed that the activity was a little worse or heightened when she was pregnant with my younger brother. But anyways, we would recall like sitting there in the living room, all relaxed, watching TV. And then all of us look to our backside all at the same time. Recalling that there was actually nothing there, but we all felt like something was looking at us in the doorway. The scariest thing that I can say in that house growing up would probably have to be the little gremlin thing that used to sit at the edge of my bed. I remember multiple occasions. I can't even tell you how many times a week it would happen. But I would wake up middle of the night and I would look at my bed and there would be just something high enough to where it was right above my bed frame, just sitting there staring at me. And as time went on, it would scare me to the point where I would have to sleep with pillows over my head. I could not look at the room around me. I was petrified, so I'd have to sleep with this like fort of pillows over my head. Well, I was around 10 years old, 11 years old, and it was there one night, and I finally got, I guess, the balls to sit up and confront it because I was just so tired of it, and it was gone. It left. As soon as I sat up, it vanished. And a couple months go by. I'm thinking that the thing over my bed is gone. I don't have to worry about it sitting there staring at me in the middle of the night. I didn't feel like it was. I remember waking up one night not feeling too well. Actually, my heart was racing. I just didn't feel well at all. So I was going to get up and tell my mom. Her bedroom was downstairs. And I pulled the blankets over my head. And there was a thing standing in my doorway. It was tall. It was lanky. And it looked like it was, I don't know, the best way I can describe it was just flowing lace. And I remember that scared me so bad. I didn't sleep in my room for several months after. I slept downstairs on the couch where we had a fold-out bed because I was just too terrified to go back upstairs in that bedroom. So when my mom told me we were moving to Ohio, I, needless to say, was excited to get out of that house. So that's just a portion of the haunted stories that I have in that house. Later finding out that home actually came in possession to several people. They had, taken possession of the home, and a couple years later they had moved out. So who knows what had happened. Maybe those people experienced something similar to what I had. I don't know. But I can tell you that is something that definitely stick with me for the rest of my life, and I'll never forget it. I want to appreciate you guys. I actually just found you guys out the other day, and I was hooked. So thanks for what you do, because there's people out there that don't give credit to this, and there is obviously something out there. We just don't know what it is. So thanks again, and I look forward to hearing more from you. Thank you.
What do you think about her haunted house?
If you saw something standing in your doorway of your bedroom, would you stay in that room, yes or no?
100% absolutely not. Now, I don't know that I would feel safe anyplace else in my house either, though.
Yeah. She said that was like only like a fraction of her story, so I'd love to hear more.
Well, and what about, seeing something that you describe as a gremlin?
Now, that's creepy. And a tall one, too.
Yeah. Like, just the idea of describing something as a gremlin, I don't like that at all.
Who would? Who actually wants like a tall gremlin to be standing in their doorway? That'd be horrifying.
What if you woke up in the middle of the night and you saw like Harry Styles or someone who looked like Harry Styles? Would you find that terrifying? Or you love Lana Del Rey. What if you woke up in the middle of the night and she's like, Lana Del Rey, is that you? And then you find out it's a ghost that just looks like Lana Del Rey. Would you be...
First of all, I want an autograph.
I know you're a ghost, but can you hold this pen and sign something? You can move things, right? You can certainly sign this.
It's a ghost version of Lana Del Rey. That's like her whole brand. It's great.
Because obviously it's not her. She's still among the living. Awesome. But it's taken on the appearance of her. So, like, you fully know.
That's creepy, but can I have an autograph?
I'm still okay with it.
Can I get a picture? It's not in the way.
Kathy and I were talking about that the other day. It's like, if you're a ghost or something, like if you came across as like someone who's really handsome, like if I woke up and Brad Pitt's in my room, I'm like, what? What are you doing here?
Brad Pitt's kind of ugly though.
Actually, I think he's pretty handsome.
Okay, well that's just
But he's an older guy. You're 11. I'm old, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, don't forget that. But I mean, so say it was some guy, you think's cute and you see someone kind of like that. That wouldn't be as scary as, a gremlin.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, once you're dead, can you take on a different appearance? couldn't you come across more friendly? Like, if you wake up and see a gremlin, it's one thing. But if you woke up and saw, like, Betty White from The Golden Girls, that's what Kathy and I were talking about that the other day. I'm like, I would be like, oh, my God, Betty White. I love you so much.
Betty White. Yeah, because Betty White's dead, so it honestly made more sense.
So to me, I'm like, maybe, you know, lose the gremlin thing. Don't scare people so bad. And I don't know.
Trying to be Betty White.
I don't know, but I'd be terrified, too, if I was her. But, you know, I don't think I'd ever sleep anywhere in that house comfortably.
But let alone, like, a more open room.
Yeah. Because I do know that a lot of houses, there's places where you feel that energy. Like, you can walk into a bedroom, maybe. Or it's the kitchen. Or it's the basement. Or it's the little attic. And you just feel that heaviness and that darkness there. And then you don't feel it in other rooms. Maybe that's what their house was like. But you know what? I'm going to say, I'm really glad I don't live in a haunted house now.
Yeah, I am too. Unless it was haunted by Betty White.
Then bring it on. Bring it on. So if you have a real ghost story, we'd like to hear it. Call in anytime at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can get an ad-free version of the show, and with that, you'll get advanced episodes and access to the archive. You just need to become a premium subscriber, and you can do it through Apple Podcasts. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.